We've now got like an LGBTQIA plus coffee hour coming up like weekly or bi-weekly at the university where we'll also have the clothes swap there as well.
Okay. So, you're doing bits, Jack.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm so busy.
You feel like such a loser. Welcome to The Outtakes, the official podcast of National Student Pride, the podcast where we go behind the scenes with a series of incredible guests doing their bit to help the LGBTQ plus community. On this episode, live from the National Student Pride Festival 2024, I'm joined by Jack Craig.
Hello.
Student activist and change maker. Hi, Jack. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's good to be here.
So, Jack, you're joining us on the podcast today because you were a finalist at National Student Pride's Change Maker of the Year, and you're the winner of the Student Union Campaign of the Year.
Yeah.
What was that experience like, and how did you feel accepting your award last night?
I mean, I think like most people, I was completely honoured. It's been a lot of hard work in terms of sort of doing the campaign and getting the university to kind of like enact the change and be on board with it. For the most part, it's not anything that's necessarily groundbreaking. It's more sort of catching up.
Catching up to speed. Yeah, bringing people up to speed. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's more the case with the university that I'm at. But I think sort of being engaged with like the community, I've been doing like various community groups over the past few years, and then LGBTQI plus related, and then sort of getting involved with like Trans in the City, and then becoming like the LGBTQI plus community engagement lead at the university. It was a nice opportunity to kind of like bring about change and do that within the space at the university. So yeah.
And Jack, for the uninitiated, would you mind sort of divulging a bit of context for your role and the campaign that you ran this year? That was the winning
Absolutely.
Campaign. That would be great, yeah.
Yeah, so my role as community engagement lead is kind of...
Because it's a new role, correct?
It is, are you the first? Yeah, I'm the first one in. Okay.
So, more to come.
Yeah, more Fingers to come, crossed. Hopefully. So I'll probably hand it over from this year to somebody else because I'm hoping to go on placement. But it was kind of created for all of these sort of diverse minority communities at the university, LGBTQI plus being one of those. And it meant kind of the initial idea was just sort of do events and enact change that kind of like maybe other students want to do. And then we started noticing, well, for a long time, I already knew about this, but more and more students were sort of being told the wrong information over sort of changing their name.
Directly information from the uni.
Yeah.
So did
the
university provide resources that were disseminating misinformation?
Yeah. Okay. So we have a trans equality student policy in place. It's very hard to find.
Yeah. Do some digging.
Yeah, and it's all within these kind of like portals, so you can't really find it, you can't Google it. So we had a lot of students not necessarily knowing the process, and then when they were trying to do it, sort of being sent around pillar to post and then being told the wrong information, like enrolling a deed poll, for example, which if people know like the risks associated with that in terms of like linking your name to your previous name digitally forever, it kind of means that the university was putting students at risk rather than sort of asking for an enrolled one. So I presented a report to the EDIC, which is like the Equality, Diversity and Inclusion Council at the university, and it was agreed by like the VC that I would develop this training to bring staff up to speed because they had fears over sort of dealing with trans and non-binary students.
Oh, so just making them more comfortable having them discussions, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What were your findings in the report?
Students were experiencing a lot of
how
distress.
How did you go, actually, sorry, just how
That's
did you go
okay.
about gathering that information?
So I did it in 6 days.
Okay.
Yeah, so I had six
Quick
days
turnaround.
Yeah, to get it to the EDIC once I sort of brought it up. My first idea was to do a petition, but my manager kind of said, look, if you put a report together, I think we can get it in and we can get it read and we can get it approved and voted on. So that's what I did. So I, the vice president of the LGBT society at the university, they collected like student anecdotes and sent them on to me. So I used those in the report. And then I went around sort of staff members, asking them if they had a student coming in asking to change their name, who would they direct them to? Do they feel confident in doing it? And all of the staff that I went around told me the wrong information.
Okay.
But they also highlighted that they haven't received any training. They deal with trans students on a regular basis, but the university had given them no direction or support in sort of managing these students and how to support them with sort of the intersectionality that comes with that as well as being a student. So, the training was born off the back of that. So I deliver training sort of outlining the policy to make it accessible, and I do sort of training on like how they, like an introduction to support, and engaging in sort of like valid conversations, I guess, so that staff don't feel necessarily like it might be appropriate to ask what a trans student sort of transition, like the intrusive questions around that, say things like surgeries and things like this.
Because the conversation is always brought so quickly down to like the biological and the and like the surgeries. Yeah. And it is such an intrusive, like it's a very difficult thing to navigate. Yeah. And especially when you have lecturers that have been teaching, they year on year they have students enter their classroom, right? And very quickly, these topics are entering conversation at a much quicker pace.
Yeah.
And I can see how it actually could be quite intimidating for, like, you know, lecturers to have to enter these conversations that they're not equipped to deal with.
Yeah.
So what I'm interested in, as you are the person directly delivering this training, how have you found that experience actually delivering the training to lecturers and school faculty? Yeah.
So it's been really good. So we've started off, I've only just completed one section of all of the team so far. I think I've done about 118 staff over a sort of course of about 8 sessions so far, with like more teams booked in.
Okay.
And most of them are really up for the conversation. Some staff have concerns over, say, the term cisgender, for example. So part of that is like breaking down that it's a scientific term. And if they're comfortable using terms like transgender or heterosexuality and homosexuality, they shouldn't be feeling any hang-ups over the term cisgender as well.
Because from their perspective, it's almost a sense of you're trying to tell me, like almost redefine my identity when...
Yeah.
Their identity is already defined. You're just giving them the new language to identify, right?
Yeah, and I think it's like breaking down where staff might be seeing things in the news and then sort of like political discourse, and breaking down like these terms so that there's no hang-ups about them, and that it's okay to sort of be having conversations with students about how they can support them, and comment on things like, I've noticed that this is going on the news and I'd like to know how this is affecting you, rather than saying, I've seen this in the news, could you care to like weigh in on this trans debate? Because I think there's no point in asking for a weigh-in, because if, as like a trans person, you're not particularly aware of the sort of environment that you're going into or the attitudes of the individual, and so it's always like a sort of nervous,
anxiety-inducing,
sort of environment to be going in. So part of it is going, look, it's okay to acknowledge that these discussions are going on, but it's certainly around how you can be supporting the student and what you can be doing as a staff member, given that this is creating a lot of distress. And we highlight things like hate crimes and things like this. And Coventry is a very diverse place to live.
I'm actually from Coventry.
But it can also be quite a hostile place as well.
I'm from Coventry originally, Have you found... where did you grow up originally?
And so I grew up in Rugby.
Oh, really? Oh, okay, so you're local.
Yeah, very, very close.
Okay, how have you found, you know, I know Coventry, I know it's not exactly got the most bustling queer scene.
Yeah.
But how have you found your university experience as a queer person there?
Sometimes intimidating.
Okay.
I don't necessarily feel safe all the time. And this, so...
It's a crazy place.
Yeah. One of the things I think is that the university isn't necessarily outward in their support for the LGBTQIA plus community. And they have a really diverse range of students, which I think is fantastic. Mm. And we've got lots of different cultures mixing together.
It is a melting pot.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And I've seen in just the last 10 years, the university has developed so much. And it has actually changed almost the DNA of the city. And it's been incredible to watch. But that also comes with its shortcomings, right?
Yeah, it can. And I think there's definitely space to acknowledge that we have a lot of people coming from countries where LGBTQIA plusness isn't acceptable.
Yeah.
And it's illegal, or certain people are targeted because of those characteristics. And I think a really important thing that needs to be done, probably across all universities when there's high international student intake or any international student intake, is bridging that gap in understanding, whether that's cultural diversity for home students or the acceptability of different identities that may not be acceptable in their country. And it certainly goes both ways.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I guess that's why we have you, right? To bridge that gap and help try and tie those loose ends.
Yeah.
And Jack, I know you're actually an undergraduate student in psychology.
Yes.
and you actually came into higher education a bit later to the game.
I did, yeah.
How have you found that experience, sort of being a bit more of a mature student? And then how have you found your interest in psychology has informed the work you do now? Okay. Bit of a two-pronged question
definitely.
So tackle it in any order you like.
Okay. So I think coming to university, I think I came at the age of 26. So I did an access course prior to this. I had done A-levels before, but unfortunately, I think just due to sort of like high levels of stress and sort of I do have a diagnosis with a mental health condition, and I was unwell for quite some time. And so it didn't really feel like I would ever get better. And I took quite a bit of time to just sort of settle and understand myself and get better, I think. And then I sort of took the plunge, decided to do the access course. And then off the back of that, I was like, okay, I've always wanted to kind of do psychology. And I thought, well, I'll go for it. And I thought I'd try somewhere local, so that I was sort of doing a transition one step at a time.
You're still within a bubble that's familiar, right?
I think so, yeah.
And you can always, you know, go back to the nest to roost if need be.
I think so.
I did the same. I originally planned to go to Sheffield to study politics because it was quite high up in the leaderboards, but then last minute I bottled it and I just ended up going to Birmingham. But I had this like visit day at Birmingham and it just felt right, and it was the best decision I ever made.
And I think for me as well, like I had viewed other universities, but it was some of the passion from the lecturers within that sort of field that I was like, okay, I think I would feel supported here, and I think I would feel the passion of what I want to study through those that are teaching me too, and that was a big thing. But I think I'm happy that I've come to university at the time that I have, because I feel like I've made the most of it, because I don't think I would have back then. But that's my personal experience. And I think sort of being able to do these things that I'm doing at the moment, given that that was completely out of the spectrum of what I thought would be possible for myself. I think I feel glad to be here sort of every day. It's certainly a grounding moment, I think.
Yeah, and it almost sounds like you're constantly surpassing your own expectation of yourself, and that must be an incredible feeling to be doing. I mean, we're recording a podcast right now because you've won an award, and I don't want to speak for you, but it sounds like even 2-3 years ago that would have been so far away at the realms of possibility. That's incredible. So Jack, actually what I want to know, as we're here at NSP, what actually made you take the plunge and want to put yourself forward for the award? Or did you someone tell you to put yourself forward?
So someone did tell me
that
to put myself
to what
forward.
Happens.
Yeah, yeah.
No one has the confidence to just do it themselves.
Yeah, it was actually Joel Cooper. Yeah, so Joel Cooper sent me a message. He's a lead ambassador at Trans in the City as well. So,
okay. I don't mean to be uneducated, but I actually don't know what Trans in the City is.
No, that's okay. So they're a organisation that kind of works with sort of like business and consulting groups. So I think they have links with organisations like Barclays and Clifford Chance. And so they've started this whole sort of network student ambassador scheme where they're looking at sort of undergraduates, graduates, interns and things like this, or people within sort of businesses within the early years. And so what it is they're trying to build networks across campuses so that trans students have sort of more of a network across the whole UK, so it doesn't feel like you're just trans in your campus. You can be trans with other people across.
Almost a campus within your campus.
I think so. Yeah, and so
possibly.
Yeah. So because Joel was at Warwick,
Joel gets everywhere.
Yeah, and he was part of the Pride or Plan network. Yeah. I think it was. Yeah, in terms of getting people into graduate roles who are LGBT. So he was brought on board. I expressed interest and they took me on. And that's how I've met Joel. So he contacted me and he said, look, I've been seeing your campaign. I think you should just like go for it, put it forward for the SU campaign of the year. And I said, yeah, so I did.
That was a little like, put yourself forward kind
just
of thing.
Put yourself forward, yeah.
So you won the award because you created a report and you set out a list of recommendations. So other than the training, what else was... Okay. What were your findings?
So we found as well, because students weren't aware of the process and the policy was inaccessible, I kind of thought, well, for prospective students coming, because I think this is of an interest of a student who's looking at a university, staff before they arrive as well. And also I think it's sort of public interest to know what's happening at Coventry University within that sphere. And so I propose that we should do a public facing web page. Originally it was kind of like, no, maybe just keep it internal. And then I said, actually, I really think this would be important to show, you know, the steps that we're taking in terms of diversity and inclusiveness. And so we're going to be creating sort of this web page that kind of links off to the relevant policy documents and ways in which students can change their name, but also set out sort of a guide to allyship and an introduction, not just sort of trans identities and non-binary, but looking at LGBTness as a whole, so that we're kind of hopefully bridging that gap between sort of cultures, and hopefully the university website will be a reliable source of information for people to sort of access, rather than, because not everybody's
actually
going
one
to
people
Google
can
it.
Find now.
Yeah, yeah. So it means that then we're not relying on students through seeking information through social media and things like this. The university can say, you know, we stand by the LGBTQIA plus community, and this is how you support your peers. Or these are the processes in place. Because I think if you're a trans person and you want to change your name, or you want to access these sort of processes in place, being an advocate for yourself and knowing the processes in place is like the best way to go about that, and making sure that trans people are aware of their rights, and how to do these things is like the key part of it. Because you can train up all the staff in the world, but if students don't know, then they don't know how to go about it in the first place.
And I think that's incredible, because a city like Coventry, obviously I know it well, but as a diverse city as it is, it has a massive lacking of any queer visibility.
Absolutely.
Do you frequent Yard and Glamorous?
Do
you?
Yeah, so I frequent the Yard.
What do you think of Yard?
So
it's getting demolished.
Yeah, it is, but it's moving.
You hear this?
It's moving.
Is it, where's it relocating to?
So, it's moving to a building called Metropolis.
Don't tell me you were part of like the campaign.
No, not at all.
You get shit done, Jack.
Yeah, I do like the Yard. I did. I did begin to think, I was like, maybe it's not the best queer space. But then I did go to another club,
Glamorous.
In Coventry. It wasn't even a queer club.
Oh, okay.
And it was a mortifying experience.
Was it Casbah?
No, it was Simone Jones.
Simone Jones.
Yeah.
Maybe this will get included in the podcast, not sure. But Simone Jones is the most insane, weirdest, most uncomfortable, but also bizarre clubbing experience I've ever been.
Yeah.
But actually, no, Glamorous is.
Okay.
I like Glamorous. I used to go to Glamorous back when it used to be called Rainbows.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember? Okay.
It used to be called Rainbows.
And every time I've ever gone, it's empty.
Yeah.
And it is just me and my one other friend dancing alone.
Yeah.
And just keep requesting whatever songs we want. So we just basically, we might as well just plugged into the aux.
Yeah.
We just did our own personal takeover.
But that's so lovely, right? I mean, I've been with two friends and it was just us three. And
just be silly.
Yeah. We just ran around, danced.
Caused
they
chaos.
They swapped tops on the dance floor.
Great smoking area.
Yeah.
Great smoking area. Yeah. Yeah, but I think with a place like Coventry where there's not so much queer visibility, it's amazing that people like you are making the step so institutions like Coventry Uni can be those points of access.
Yeah, and I think it's nice because, I mean, so I'm from Rugby and that's fairly conservative in terms of its political leanings. And, you know, coming to Coventry and they have like Labour MPs voted in, not necessarily that Labour's the best political party for trans people at the moment. But there's Zara Sultana and she's been quite outwardly spoken against sort of the leadership of the Labour Party in supporting like trans people. And I think having somebody who is in the area who's very well known for their sort of political stance, and having somebody be that vocal, I think kind of means that even if adversity's there, and, you know, in Coventry, I have been sort of the victim of hate crimes as well, sort of out and about in the city centre. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. That's so awful.
These things happen. I mean, I count myself lucky, to be honest, really? In terms of what I've experienced. But I think it's just being vocal about it and trying not to be too scared, even if it is scary.
And I think whenever, for example, with an MP like Zara, I think just having someone that actually speaks to the experience of marginalized people, just having that vocalized is almost as reassuring enough, but like it's just that acknowledgement of like, oh, I'm not just completely a blind eye, is not just being completely turned to my experience.
Yeah.
So Jack, actually, when we were doing a bit of research into you, the one thing that I was actually really interested in is that you actually organise a clothes swap for trans people.
Yeah.
And I read it and I was like, oh my God, of course, that's a good idea, but it's just never something that would have crossed my mind at all. Mm. So can you just sort of explain for the listeners and viewers what was sort of your sort of thought process behind wanting to organise that?
Yeah. So
and what's the response been?
So the response has been good. I mean, the Students' Union brought in sort of the Gender Expression Fund as well at the SU. Sort of new for this year, that was brought by the previous community officer, who's actually my sister, Catherine Craig,
okay.
And she now works at Warwick Students' Union. So we were competing
okay.
yesterday for the Campaign of the Year award. It was quite funny.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Were you glad you won?
Yeah, shame I couldn't do a speech because I was gonna go na 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 na, but yeah, I couldn't do that.
That comes later.
Yeah, it does. So yeah, the clothes swap, so this was just an opportunity for students to be able to sort of like one, socialize, because there aren't that many sort of LGBT sort of sober spaces within Coventry, but it also meant that then students were able to kind of give things that had given them gender euphoria to other students. And I think that's sort of a really nice...
almost a passing of the
precious,
torch moment.
Yeah,
that's really gorgeous.
To have. Exactly.
That's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. But we've also got on the back of that now, so this Thursday coming up, so the 28th or 29th, I can't quite remember the dates. With this
podcast
week.
will be out okay. after that, but...
We've now got like an LGBTQIA plus coffee hour coming up, like weekly okay. or bi-weekly at the university, where we'll also have the clothes swap there as well.
Okay. So, you're doing bits, Jack.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm so busy.
Feel like such a loser. So Jack,
yeah,
thank you so much for coming on the podcast, and please keep up the amazing work. And it's so amazing to hear that there's people out there like you in the student community just making change happen.
Yeah,
and it's incredible. And congratulations on your award.
Thank you very
well
much.
Well deserved. And please enjoy the rest of the festival.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. All right. Woo.